Go ahead and open your Bibles to Mark 10. Mark chapter 10. Today, we get to marvel at the true and living God, Jesus Christ. And we will learn things about him. We will also learn things that describe true, genuine faith. That's what we're going to see. Jesus is going to heal a blind man. Jesus is going to heal Bartimaeus. But what I want you to know first is that we see spiritually with our hearts more than we do with our eyes. We see spiritually with our hearts, meaning your decision to follow Christ or whether you don't follow Christ has more to do with the desires of your heart than it does to do with your eyes. Mark chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 46. This will be the last time we preach through Mark chapter 10 in my lifetime. I don't know why I said that. Maybe we will do it again. Who knows? 46. Then they reached Jericho. And Jesus' disciples left town. As they'd left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. That's what Bartimaeus means. Bar means son. Timaeus was his dad. Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder. This is my kind of person here. A little punchy. And he yelled louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man, the crowd did. "Cheer up," they said, "he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. Now, there's two categories here. I just wanted to sort it out in your mind. We're going to take a category on what does this teach us about Jesus, and we're going to spend a category on what does it teach us about true, genuine faith, okay? So, number one, Jesus doesn't do miracles randomly. He doesn't just randomly go, "Oh, you have an illness? Let me fix it." But rather, he's doing intentional miracles to prove that he is the promised Savior. I'm not making this up. It's not a code that you need to uncode. It is 700 years earlier, Isaiah 35 said this prediction. "And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind." What did Jesus do? That. "He will unplug the ears of the deaf." That doesn't happen every day. Isaiah 42:7, specifically speaking about the servant of the Lord, "You will open the eyes of the blind." You see it? "You'll set captives free from prison, releasing those who sit in darkness." He's making blind see, deaf hear, crippled walk. That is not normal. That's going to happen when the Messiah comes. Those things don't happen unless Jesus is on the scene proving he is the Savior. So do not think that Jesus just came to do magic tricks and to woo the crowds with David Copperfield type magic to gain popularity. He didn't want any of that. He is just proving he's the Messiah. The second thing we learn about God is God chooses the unlikely to be his own. Why are you guys all here? There's really a spot in 1 Corinthians that says he didn't choose the wise ones, he chose the fools of this world. And I'm like, amen. The Bible is true. Here's what I need us to know, that we are terrible at guessing who is likely to follow Christ. We think we kind of know who's most likely to follow Christ and who's really just too far gone. Jesus is nearing the last week of his life here. Next week, he's going to enter Jerusalem, last week of his life. He's about to enter Jerusalem. It's the city that bears his name, Zion, Jerusalem. And they, his own Israelites, will reject him and crucify him. This story is a condemnation on the elite religious. The elite religious of Jesus' day killed him. And the blind beggar said, "Have mercy on me." Jericho is the last stop on the way to Jerusalem. And the Bible tells us in Jericho that he saves two people. And that's it. And the two people are the most unlikely ones to be saved. It was a blind beggar on the side of the road. I want to know where that guy's dad was. Timaeus needs to be shamed for not taking care of his son. But then the next one, you guys know the song. Zacchaeus climbed up a sycamore tree. He was a despised tax collector. The crowds hated him. The beggar, they hushed. And those are the two people that Jesus says, "I want them." And in their day, this is why they were so rejected. In their day, the blind were automatically considered rejects. In their day, they wrongly thought that if you were blind or sick, it's because you had sin. You were cursed by God. We know this is true because John chapter 9, a different man that was born blind, you know what they asked? They said, "Was it this man's sin that he's blind, or was it his parents?" They didn't give no third option. Someone's sin caused this blindness. And so Jesus responds, "Neither." So the glory of God could be displayed. And Jesus is traveling through Jericho here, takes a blind beggar, pauses, and saves him. So, just to sum it up, we are terrible guessers at who will decide to follow Christ. So here's what we do. You tell everyone about Jesus. And whoever responds, that's who God's working on their heart. He's proven he's the Savior in this first part. He's choosing the unlikely to be saved. We ought to not put limits on that. The second part, now we're going to go to what does this teach us about true, genuine faith? How does Bartimaeus see with his heart? How does that happen? He doesn't have eyes. This is a description of genuine faith. Number one, he shouted for Jesus. You want a description of somebody who is a genuine believer? Don't find someone who's so self-sufficient they got life figured out that they don't need Jesus. Find someone who shouts for mercy. Mercy, defined, is undeserved kindness. You don't deserve mercy. And then get this, the crowd hushes him. The crowd says, "Shh." And his response, he just ups his game. He just yells louder. And he yells out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Son of David was a title given to 2 Samuel 7 about the promised Messiah who would sit on the throne forever. And this blind guy who has no eyes says, "There he is. Have mercy on me, son of David." Bartimaeus was unfazed by the voices that wanted to keep him from Christ. Do you want to know what a genuine disciple looks like? They're not fazed by people that say, "Hush." This is why I started with my first part. I've had several people in the church tell me, "I don't want to be as bold as I am." And I'm like, "No, you should be bolder." But it offends people. When was that ever a rule? When they actually said, "Jesus, do you know you just offended them by what you say?" That's a Bible verse. And he does not respond saying, "I'm sorry." He just goes, "Yep, and I'm going to offend you too." That's Jesus. And so don't be hushed by crowds that say, "Don't say that. Don't talk about Jesus. You can't do that here." Even this morning, someone said, we all know in your workplace, you're not supposed to talk about politics or religion. That's fine. Just don't talk about politics. Because that's a waste of your time. Talk about your Savior if he has your heart. He's getting no sympathy from the crowds. He's a blind guy on the side of the road, and the crowds try to hush him back into silence. Nope, he got louder. Why? Because his heart saw Jesus long before his eyes did. Bartimaeus, I'm not making this up, knew he was a sinner because it says he pleads for mercy. Bartimaeus knew that Jesus was the Lord because it says he called him the Son of David. He knew Jesus was the only one that could give mercy, the promised Savior. Now here's the most amazing truth of Scripture, and if you remember nothing of today, remember this one thing, that God never ignores the cries of a truly repentant sinner. That's it. We never, ever, ever have an example of somebody saying, have mercy on me, and Jesus says, you're not one of my chosen. It doesn't exist. And if you've been in this place, you know it's true. God never ignores the cries of a truly repentant sinner. That's true faith. That's genuine salvation. And here's a side note. Just before this, James and John ask Jesus to honor them. You remember that from last week? And Bartimaeus, same thing, but he asks for mercy. Jesus asks the exact same question. It's word for word in the Scripture. What do you want me to do for you? He said that to James and John, and they said, right and left hand, we want to be honored. What do you want me to do for you? Ask it to Bartimaeus, and he says, have mercy on me. Help me see. Now, before I get to the last point of what a true Christian does, let's talk plainly about healing. Biblically, not everyone that got healed got saved. Biblically, not everyone that got healed got saved. Luke 17, there are 10 people with leprosy. That was a death warrant. You didn't recover from leprosy. 10 people got healed by Jesus. Do you know how many returned? One. And Jesus makes it a point and says, weren't there 9 more of you that did not return to give glory to God? So not everybody that got healed wants Jesus. Not everybody that got healed gets saved. He didn't have to work miracles, and he didn't only work miracles for his own saved people. He didn't even do it to lead people to faith. So why don't the blind get healed today? Like we see in Jesus' day. The answer is because Jesus was unique. That's it. Can God heal miraculously today? Absolutely. Absolutely. He can do whatever he wants, and don't dare put a limit on him. But it does not appear to be his normal mode. Let's be honest about that. If you're not healed, it's not your lack of faith. If you're not healed, it's not that you didn't use the right formula or the right oils or have enough prayer. And here is the pastoral passion of my heart. That God is not one bit less worthy of our praise if he doesn't heal us. That's it. Up on the screen, sorry, I was messing this up. God is infinitely worthy of our worship even if he doesn't heal us now. If he does, praise God. But if he doesn't, don't let that bruise your faith. I love honesty, and when we pray with full faith and sincerity that God would heal them and they die, what do you do with that? Because it happens. It happens all the time. So why doesn't it happen like it does in Jesus' day? Because what was going on in Jesus' day was very unique. You don't even find that much healing in the rest of the Bible We're going to read through a thousand years of Old Testament history, and it's rare. And then we see Jesus come on, and it's just common. Okay, that was a side note. I do pray for healing. I do, with full faith. But my faith is not weakened if he doesn't heal. My last point is in verse 52 of Bartimaeus. He says, go, your faith has healed you. The word for healing in Greek is sozo. That is the word for salvation. Your faith has saved you, rescued, delivered. You're safe. You're out of danger. And then here's the point. Jesus says, go do whatever you want. What does this guy do with absolute freedom? Any guesses? Verse 52, you got the same answer key I do? Follows Jesus. That's it. When you are given freedom to do whatever you want, a true repentant Christian uses his freedom to follow God. Luke 18 is the exact same story of Bartimaeus, and it tells us in 43, this is what he did. Instantly, the man could see. He followed Jesus, praising God, and all who saw it praised God too. When a true Christian is free to do whatever they want, they will choose to follow Jesus at all costs. Do you use your freedom to do whatever you want to do? Do you use your freedom to follow Christ, or is your allegiance to Jesus conditional based on some standard you set up? Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your mighty acts. We want to tell the next generation. We want to believe it ourselves. We don't just want to enjoy a story. But we want to personally know you, delight in you, respond to you. And I cannot wait until I see you face to face in the unfiltered presence of my Savior. Would your church not rest until that is the cry of their heart? Amen.